This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzer from ESPN Milwaukee. From ESPN West Palm, Brian Rowitz. Catch him on ESPN 1000 down in Chicago, as well as every Sunday on Sirius XM Pro Wrestling Nation. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, we are digging fast and furious towards a very awkward timing of a pay-per-view, excuse me, premium live event for WWE. Crown Jewel going to be happening in just 9 days, 8 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, coffee and wrestling. We have the Crown Jewel Championship is going to be for grabs. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins took up a lot of our time on Monday Night Raw. Not just the backstage vignette that they put together. They also got a promo segment on Monday Night Raw. So the question becomes, who should go over for that Crown Jewel Championship? We're all going to forget about immediately after it happens. Who should go over, Seth Rollins or Cody Rhodes?
For the Saudi Heavyweight Championship.
In Australia, don't forget.
In Perth, Australia.
In Perth, Australia, yes. So I think that they've set the table for Seth to be able to win this. We have talked about this a lot in the history of our show about who is Seth Rollins. If I asked you, Gabe, if I asked you, Brian, who is Cody Rhodes, you could tell me. If I asked you who is Roman Reigns, you could tell me. But when it comes to Seth Rollins, he's playing a character. We don't disrespect Seth Rollins because the in-ring is there. But when we see John Cena, when we see some of these other top stars, we know who they are. Seth Rollins is playing pro wrestler, which makes him kind of a second banana. But in this case, I think that Seth needs to win. He needs to be able to win this one. And again, it's for some prize that, like you said, Gabe, we're going to forget about later on, like in 2 minutes after the match is over. But the point is that for Seth and for this character and for his group, he needs to win this more than Cody.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, where wins and losses do not matter in the WWE, but Rollins has been vocal on screen and off screen that he's not Hogan, he's Savage. He's not Rock, he's Hunter. He's not Roman, he's Rollins. Like, another loss like this says, like, oh yeah, you're second fiddle. You're not QB1. You're the guy that is there if we need you, but you're not the main guy. If he loses again and it goes to 0-4 against Cody, why would we ever believe anything that comes out of his mouth character-wise? Where it's like, all right, cool, you can talk this big game, but then it won't matter. We're seeing with Drew McIntyre. Like, Drew is a main event star, but never wins to the point where it's like, all right, cool, you're going to lose this feud. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, just, oh, I mean, I guess this would be cool if I actually thought that Drew could win.
Right.
And they have leaned so much into the 0-3 and the rivalry that these two had when Cody initially came back. They've leaned into it so heavily where it's like, yeah, if Seth doesn't win this, you can never run this program back right, and have anybody actually care about it. And again, the great thing for Seth is he's got a stable. He's got people that can interfere, and you can still protect Cody, I guess, if you want to protect Cody, and it doesn't have to be clean. But Seth needs to win. Like, and if Seth does not win here, but honestly, I think it kind of hurts both. Like, Cody becomes less interesting. Seth becomes less interesting. If Cody just goes over, just okay. Then it's just like when LOL Cena wins, right? That era of WWE and Raw. Then it's the same thing for Cody. And Cody, by the way, we know Cody is cool with losing. He's the one who pitched losing to McIntyre. And then the WWE decides to go the other way because I guess they wanted to have this feud in Perth, Australia in 9 days. So Seth has to go over, I think, in order to move forward with really either character and make anything interesting.
So, Gabe, let me ask you this. You take away the clothing from Seth.
Mm-hmm.
The big glasses,
mm-hmm.
the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Seth Rollins? Without the
really good.
That, who is he?
Becky Lynch's husband?
Yeah. It's a great question. If you start stripping everything away, who is Seth? I don't know.
See, I can take the suit off of Cody, and I know who that is.
Right.
Yep.
I can take, you know, the t-shirt off of Roman Reigns and just say, oh, there's Roman Reigns. He's not a character. This is who he is. I can do the same thing with Brock Lesnar. I think we know who Brock is. Whatever you think Brock is that guy. Like, it's realism, right?
Well, it's it's the old, like, every pro wrestler, the best version of themselves is like turned up to 11, right? That's the old saying.
Yeah.
Like Seth, to your point, this is the best version of Roman Reigns. Like Roman was kind of like that in the era of when the Shield ended until the Bloodline and Tribal Chief era started, right? Like he was kind of, oh, he's playing professional wrestler and he's what Vince thought he should be. And he ends up just kind of lost and not somebody that was actually connecting with the fan base. And then he becomes a more closer version of himself and he's able to connect with the fan base. Again, it's the same thing with Stone Cold, The Rock. Like you can go through the litany of guys. And for Seth, because he's, you know, again, bounced back and forth between being babyface, being heel, and he's bounced back and forth. Yeah, I think you have a point of, okay, who is Seth Rollins? I'm not quite sure. The answer I guess I would give to that is he is whoever the company needs him to be. That's who right. Seth Rollins is.
Because even things storyline-wise, like it always needs that other person. Like Cody, the title is what he's chasing. The story, Dusty being out there, like that's part of the story. Rollins hates Punk. He hates Cody. Like that's part of the story where even after this and they go on their separate shows, there's not a lot of direction for him. It's like, all right, I'm the champion. And like, it just, we need that next step for Rollins. And he needs a win like this where he becomes like, hey, I'm the face of the company. I'm the guy that's going to beat QB1. Like we just need something to latch onto when it comes to him.
Yeah. I mean, look, as far as in ring, we know he can go. He's a fantastic wrestler, but in this era of Unreal, where everything is wide open, I have no idea who Colby Lopez is.
Right.
I have no idea. Like, have you seen a documentary with him, his young child, and Becky together? Because it's wide open now with the Unreal. So I'm just thinking, well, at least for the WWE fan, they know the inner workings of all their favorite superstars, including Randy Orton, right? You know who Randy Orton is? It's Bob Orton's kid. And, you know, he was unhinged for a time. And now he's with mental help. He's a much better person than he was 10 years ago, all that. We know, you know, Drew McIntyre, heard about his wife and understand what he's been going through with his family, all this. Colby Lopez, all we know is the cackle and the outfit and that he can go. Other than that, and I think that, I guess my point is, that's the connection that we all make as fans to wrestlers. We don't have that connection. He'll win the match, but he always wins big matches for the most part in his career.
I do wonder if, like, the blurring of the lines almost hurts him. And going back to the leg injury where he's filling in for Rich Eisen and he's hosting and he's doing media stuff where we're supposed to see the real him and he's selling that injury that isn't real. I wonder if that ultimately in the long run hurt him.
Well, he's old school, right? I guess that keeps him old school. He keeps the character alive, you know? Like, again, back in the 80s, did anybody know who Terry Bollea was?
No.
We knew who Hulk Hogan was, right. And Seth being the guy that can be relied upon to be whatever they need him to be. Yeah, you have to be a good guy now. You got to be a bad guy. Be able to balance that back and forth. I guess he's just the old school one amongst all these other people.
That's fair.
Yeah, we were not aware of the racism in 85. We did not know. if we would have known... it's still Hogan.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as he dropped the leg, it was fine, Gabe.
Yeah, no, he got to drop the leg, count of 1, 2, 3. That's all he had to do. But when it comes, again, that's, I think, so to answer that question, I think that's who Seth is. He's like the old school guy amongst all these people. As all these other people are leaning into the more real stuff, he's leaned to that obviously a bit with the hatred of Punk. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't feel like the real hatred that he would have towards Cody Rhodes, right? Like, and again, Mike, you're there's some pro wrestling logic here because, I mean, Seth had to completely sell out to help Cody complete his story as Seth was a part of the main event of night one, showed up in the Shield gear and main event of night two of WrestleMania. So it just, you got to suspect, you know, a little bit of the pro wrestling suspension of disbelief here, but Seth is whoever he needs to be, and maybe that does hurt him in terms of being able to connect to the fans. I'll tell you what it does do, though. Make sure he's always going to have a job within WWE. Makes his position incredibly safe on that roster by being the guy that you can always count on to do whatever you need him to do.
Yeah, and I think Monday worked. Like Monday was a good promo. I always appreciate when...
It was a little too much for me.
All of it or just the promo?
All of it. All of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like you didn't need to do two different sections of the vignette and the behind the scenes interviews and then do the promo in the ring as well. Like it just took up way too much time for again, a championship that we're not going to see. Like they're going to put it on Seth if he wins. And then that's the last time we see it. And we move on like nothing actually ever happened.
I will also say, I know it's wrestling logic, but the pre-taped video packages where they're answering each other, it bothers me because like, well, why do they know what the other one said? Like, what are we doing here? So I'm just throwing that out there. Sidebar.
As a guy who produces television in his day job, this is bothering the TV producer.
Because they're supposed to be separate and recording. You don't know what the other person said. Like, it's very annoying. But in terms of the promo, the fact that they actually acknowledge WrestleMania, like the WWE logic sometimes, like, yeah, that happened, but forget that happened. Like, they talked about WrestleMania 40 over a year ago. Like, I appreciated that. And Rollins saying, like, oh, you're the lesser of two evils. Like, that I thought was a positive step.
The first breadcrumb that was laid is when Cody leaned into Seth and says, what did he say? I'm 3-0 against you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what the finish is. Because you never bring it up in wrestling, right? You leave the past in the past. This is a fresh match. If you were not there when I beat you three times, fine. We're not going to give you that history. We'll tell you about this matchup coming up. So when he leaned in and said, I'm 3-0 against you, oh, Seth's winning. That was it.
I hope. Because
yeah. It's the only thing to me that makes sense.
Otherwise, woof.
We've got some other things we want to dive into this week on GKW. We call it the three count, other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. Brian, what's number one this week?
Last night, right here in Hollywood, Florida, anniversary show number 6 for AEW Dynamite saw the re-debut of Andrade a few weeks after his WWE release. Let's fill in the blank. Andrade is blank.
Well, first, do you have an issue with Broit saying right here in Hollywood, Florida?
Not really right here in Hollywood, Florida. That's kind of a lie.
Hang back!
It's he's looking for the key pop.
Yes.
That's a lie. Not true. Go ahead.
It's in the same area code as me. I'm a 954 guy. Like, I work in the 561. I'm a 954. Hollywood's 954. That's all it is.
Thank you, MVP.
Yes. A South Florida guy also. He's more of a 305, though. Totally different.
Okay. Yeah. Back to Andrade, who did make lights go out. I'm not going to lie. When the lights went out, I thought it was going to be Jericho. When I saw
Andrade in the ring, I thought it was Jericho. Like, I don't know if it was the hair or whatever, but I was like, oh, Jericho's back. And then he takes the mask. I was like, that is not Chris Jericho.
That is very much not Chris Jericho. I don't think you were alone. I think I saw some reactions online who thought that initially it was Chris Jericho, even when the lights came up. Andrade is, I'm trying to think of the best comparison because realistically he's a guy, but every time he shows up in a different promotion, everyone thinks he's more than a guy, you know, like he's that big flash free agent signing that you make and you're like, oh yeah, this is the one. And then it's like, oh, he's actually, yeah, he's good. He goes in the ring. He's fine. But I don't know. At this point, we kind of know who Andrade is. And the match that he is eventually going to have with Kenny Omega will be fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what Andrade is or is going to be in AEW. I thought we kind of got the taste of what he was his first time around, which is a good role player. But he's going to be in this main event feud with Kenny, and then he's going to go back to the mid-card right after the feud.
Andrade is desperate. It's sad, actually. I was going to say sad, but it is kind of sad in a lot of ways that AEW, you go there, and all three of us admire Andrade's work. You know when the bell rings, he's going to be out there for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. He's warming up through the first 15, and then he turns it on. So he goes from AEW to WWE, in the same spot in the middle of the card, right? And now back to AEW. Andrade could be able to clean up in the indies if he wanted to. Clearly, there must be it must be closed in Mexico because he's not working for AAA. He's not in CMLL. I just think it's kind of sad that all these different outlets and his option is to go back to AEW and for AEW to open a door again. Yeah, you can come back. Same role, though. Same money. That's weird. Like, he's better than this. And so he'll wrestle one time every 2 weeks, maybe at that, and then he'll be forgotten about.
Yeah. He's going to be, you know, sort of the face of Collision, like one of those guys where we talked about it last week because he announced a House of Glory appearance coming up in November where, yes, he can clean up on the indies. I thought the exit from AEW didn't go well. I remember all the reports where he refused to lose and he was just sitting in the back, not being used, and now he's back. He's just one of those mid-carders. Like, I don't see that next step. And I saw the comps last night of the bouncing back and forth, a lot of people comparing him to Jeff Jarrett. Is that, like, I don't know which side of that is more disrespectful toward. Like, is he Jeff Jarrett, where it's just like, hey, I'm going to show up this company. Some people say X-Pot. Like, I don't know which one it is, but it's just odd.
At least Jeff Jarrett was, you know, trusted with some world championships along the way. I don't think a world championship's coming Andrade's way, which is weird because I remember when he initially debuted in AEW and the presentation of the suit, and you just looked at him, and you went, oh, this guy could be a world champion someday, like this, and just the way it's gone, it's completely fallen off. Like honestly, like his ceiling to me is being a tag team champion with Roosh, like him and Roosh reunite. And they become tag team champions. Like that seems to be the ceiling because I don't see him competing for, maybe he competes for, but I don't see him winning a TNT championship or a unified championship or the heavyweight championship. I just don't see any of those singles championships coming his way. So that means trios or tag team. And that means kind of going back to some of the guys he was with before. Like,
you know who my favorite Gabe is, Brian? Gabe the Booker. That's my because you make 100% sense. 100%. If it didn't work for you at singles and you're in the same spot, you know what you do? You find a partner and you work on, you tell Tony, Collision, Dynamite, ROH, CMLL, put me in a tag team with Roosh. Who's going to beat us?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because them against FTR, them against the Hurt Syndicate, them against, I mean, I know that AEW, the last thing they need is another tag team. But the point is, though, those two guys together would be brilliant. And also puts a fresh coat of paint on Andrade. I think that works for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at least then, like, you're in a company where tag teams will be on TV. Like, our tag team champions at AEW are on television because the reports were him and Rey Fénix were going to win the WWE tag team titles. That doesn't mean TV time. I think I saw this week the Raw tag titles haven't been defended in about 2 months since Judgment Day won it. Whereas in AEW, Brodino, they're right there. They're future. They're in big spots right now as the tag champs. I think that it's just missing something as a single star. I don't know what it is with him. He's got the look. He looked bigger last night. Like, his back was showing off. But, like, something's missing to take that next step that I don't think is going to just show up randomly.
Yeah, and that's why I think they have to go back to the tag team route. Again, the match that him and Kenny is going to, like, sign me up. If they're doing it at WrestleDream, wherever they're doing it, we know that's going to be good. It's going to deliver. But outside of that match, like, I don't know if Roosh is ever, because we talk about this all the time with different characters. Over in WWE for a while, it was Lyra Valkyria. For a while, it was Raquel, right? Like, okay, give me reason to care about why you're going to be going into this match. And right now, the only reason we care is that he's back. But after he has his match with Omega, what's the reason I'm going to care about him? Like, have to give
right. And even being part of the Don Callis family, like, that probably hurts him more than it helps him. Like, there are 47 guys in that faction right now. Like, he's going to be forgotten. He's going to, in a month, going to be Lance Archer just standing back there like, oh, yeah, he's out there. Like, that I don't think is going to be good for his future.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What the hell are they doing with the Don Callis family? What there has to be, like, to be adding this many this rapidly, because it wasn't just him. They right. added the clone of Hologram. Last night as well. It seems like they're picking up one or two guys each and every week. There's got to be an ultimate plan, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, Trent.
Right. That's right. He's part of the Don Callis family.
Yes. Trent Beretta. I don't know. But I think that we hit on something that could help Andrade's career. And that would be not necessarily in a faction as much as just in a tag team. Like, I just, don't get me started about tag teams, you guys. I think that when we're not so busy, we should have a watch along of some of the best tag team matches. Then I can explain to both of you and our audience why there should be a tag team renaissance. When tag team wrestling is great, it's unbelievable. If you have the Swirl or some just of these ancillary tag teams, that doesn't matter as much. But when tag team wrestling's right, it could be the main event of a card. If you got heat, you know, FTR. And Copeland and Christian was main event caliber because of the heat. Now Copeland's trying to get back to WWE. Maybe, I don't know. But still, I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. When it's good, it could be as good as any singles main event.
Are you saying there was an Andrade for Cope trade? That's how Andrade got there, and we're going to see Cope at Saturday Night's main event?
A little Dixie Carter. Like, I need somebody. Let me see. Anybody on the card? Christian. What?
All right.
Christian, she chose at TNA.
Yeah, is he going to do anything? Like, seriously, after this match with Kenny, what is he going to be on the card for World Tag?
There's a pay-per-view in between these two, between WrestleDream and World's End. Like, no, there's plenty of time to get forgotten.
No. Where are you going to put him?
Yeah, because they've got three pay-per-views left. We've got WrestleDream, we've got Full Gear, and
World's End. You know why, Gabe? Because he can't jump the line. He can't jump the line.
No.
I mean, I'd rather see Rush in that spot, as we just talked about, than Andrade. He's just a hand. That's all he is a hand.
Yeah, I guess now that you bring that up, though, like, we've talked about the world title picture right now. It feels like Hangman's just sort of treading water until we get to MJF winning the title back.
I love what happened last night, though. Again, there's some pro wrestling logic.
That's what Hangman does, but Joe's not winning the title.
No, but like, it's the perfect thing because it. And I feel like I've sung the praises of Samoa Joe. Like, when it comes to being a professional wrestler, you know, like, I feel like I talk about this sometimes in terms of with friends of mine in baseball. Like, some guys are just professional hitters, right? Like, they just go up there. They know what they're doing. They're not the best hitters out there, but they're just professional hitters. And that's what Samoa Joe is. He is a professional wrestler. Whatever you need Joe to do, he is going to deliver in spades. Like, again, the fact that we're having a world championship match because of the perceived disrespect of being handed your championship and you weren't ready for it and it just fell to the floor. Okay, yeah, there's some pro wrestling logic that happened there. But for then Joe to ratchet it up to the, hey, you've reminded me of what I'm supposed to be. I'm, you know, like, this is who I am. You're going to be introduced to me. And Samoa Joe in microphone time, he just probably doesn't get enough, especially when he is the way he was last night in the interview he did with Renee behind the scenes. Like, in the way, again, coming up with a new way to say, hey, I'm better than you. There hasn't been a day in your existence where you've been a greater man than I'm. That is a line. That is a fantastic line that only Samoa Joe can deliver. So yes, I know Samoa Joe's not winning, but I am going to be entertained every step of the way from the buildup to this, because Joe is not going to let me down, because I don't know the last time Joe let anybody.
But my point being, like, in that replaceable role of, like, all right, someone needs to face Hangman. Could it be an Andrade to main event one of these pay-per-views after WrestleDream?
Are you trying to close their business?
Well, I'm just saying, like, from the, like, if you're trying to elevate him, say, like, hey, you get a world title shot. Again, no one's beating Hangman until MJF does.
Okay. All right.
I'm not saying it. I don't know. I'm just saying it's an option.
No, it's not an option.
Oh, no, okay.
No.
I mean, it's an option in that he's on the roster, I guess.
But like, hey, look at this prize free agent, or in a, like, hey, Hunter, you know how to use them. We're gonna put them in the main event. I mean,
okay, RJ City also is an option, but they're not using RJ City.
I'm waiting for that debut. That'll be good.
And I love the idea. Okay, you know the match is going to be great, Samoa Joe against Hangman Page. But you could have done this story with a heel. Why does it have to be babyface versus babyface? Why do I have to choose?
Yeah,
I love Samoa Joe. I love Hangman Page. Can you do the story with a heel? Where are your heels at?
If you wanted to do, in terms of getting to the story, I honestly don't think you could have done this with anybody else. Like, to go from 0 to 60, like, you could not have done this with anyone else, of this perceived slight disrespect to getting a world championship match. I don't know if anybody else could sell it the way Samoa Joe does.
We need to cut that roster then. Too many.
Look, that's a different conversation, and I probably agree with you. But again, in terms of the very flimsy storyline to get us something that's going to be ultimately cool, nobody else could pull that out, but go.
To your point on the roster, they had Hook wrestling on Ring of Honor last night before the show.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, was it Sinatra music playing the whole time?
Not the whole time. It was a quick 2-minute match, and then he won.
No good then.
But, yeah. And then I mean the crowd last night, they were South Florida. South Florida sucks. There no one's good sports fans down here. We got what chance during Tony Storm? We got you can't wrestle at Kyle Fletcher. Like I would not be surprised if they decide, like, you know what, we don't need to come to South Florida. Jacksonville, Orlando is fine.
See, now see, here's the problem, Gabe. You see this, Brian? Here's a new rule. I feel like Bill Maher. New rule. I feel like if you're not familiar with the product, you can't go. Why in the F are you doing what chance in 2025? Because clearly they don't understand the Tony Storm story.
Yes.
Why'd you do that? Because you haven't been to a wrestling event before? You haven't been in 20 years, so you want to utilize your what chant? If you don't know the product, you're not allowed in the building. How about that?
I'm fine with that. I will say my children learned some new words to come home with from the wrestling fans. Yeah.
I mean, he probably learned some new words from Samoa Joe and Hangman
Page. The
promos, Page.
The crowd. It's AEW, not PG. So, whatever.
You got to support me on this, Gabe. If you're not familiar with the product, and you're doing WWE chants in a different arena, you can't do that. That sucks. That was bad for Toni Storm. She deserved better.
Like, you do, again, when anytime a crowd starts doing what chants, you're going to business for yourself. And that's not the time to do it. Like, Toni Storm has been a pillar in this company, carrying it on her back, has been one of the most interesting things in all of professional wrestling over the last 2 years. And you're doing what chants
and
during
the
promo?
In the crowd, the AEW fans over there were yelling at some of the fans, like, close to me, I heard what, and then a lot of, like, shut the hell up. Like, what are you guys doing? So it was that dynamic. But obviously, it made it way to TV, and pretty disappointing.
Bad market. You never even run Hollywood, Florida before. I'm not sure. On your 6th anniversary, you should be there. Good crowd, by the way. I mean, look great on TV. I'm like, so it's your anniversary. Let's go someplace we've never been before. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that was different.
Especially when you're running Daly's Place next week. Why couldn't you just flip him? Like, you're still at, like, go to Daly's Place and then go to Hollywood, Florida. Like, Daly's Place is, I mean, I always joke that the unofficial home of AEW is Chicago because they run that place more than anything. But, like, the actual unofficial home is Daly's Place because that's where they were during the pandemic. Like, that's where they go is Jacksonville. That's kind of like the unofficial home base at this point for AEW. So I don't know why you wouldn't go there before you go to Hollywood, Florida. Like, it just didn't.
I know there was more on
no
TV,
sense.
But like outside of the video package, you didn't even really know, like, oh, this is a celebration. Like, Tony came out before and after, said, oh, it's 6 years. But it was just a regular Dynamite outside of that video package, which did include CM Punk and Cody. Well, so shout out to them for that.
I did notice that. Yeah. I did notice that they worked those guys in there. I mean, and it was an extra long show. I was disappointed with the. I thought we were actually going to get something from Jurassic Express last night other than just a run-in. So that was a little disappointing because we still want to hear from them. Like, why are you reuniting? Why are we – what are we doing here? Like, I want to get the full entrance for the crowd going crazy instead of just what we ultimately got. Like, that's been a little disappointing.
They're back together? Oh, I don't remember that. I guess because you're supposed to just forget what happened to the pay-per-view and just move on because, God forbid, you connect stories.
I mean, they did. So obviously being there, did it, like the Kenny and Jungle Boy, that was just, did they explain that at all on TV? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a little bit. They had the stare down and, you know, again, like Jungle Boy's part of the reason that Kenny was out. So that's why he had the awkward stare.
I will say the one thing in terms of crowd reaction, the hologram clone with no introduction until 30 minutes later, silence in the crowd.
See,
even when he came out, like people were like, maybe it was, like, but then he just unmasked me and the mask.
Again, when he unmasked, you're like, wait a second, what? It's kind of like when Butcher and Blade debuted in Chicago. Everyone's like, wait, who are these guys?
Yes,
that's what happened. You
know, what's going on?
Stories, that's what it looks like.
That was a good callback to AEW's first episode with the Dark Order one. Remember that debut at the end when they came out? Everyone's like, who are these guys? Like. that was our callback.
Hologram out for some time, by the way. Looks like into next year.
Yeah, that sucks.
So it's too bad because now he's gonna wait for his first loss, maybe in February next year instead of against Kyle Fletcher.
Right, and now you have a clone of Hologram that's gonna have to run an angle without Hologram, and hopefully still be relevant when Hologram comes back. Hooray.
Again, it just seems like anytime they get some momentum going, they just can't help themselves.
That's all right, Gabe. The pay-per-view is going to be a banger.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and they're cheaper on HBO Max now, so, you know.
And also even cheaper on my Reddit stream.
But I guess, so 6 years, again, where do you think we are with AEW 6 years in?
Oh, I think it's been great for AEW. And because think about this for perspective, AEW has lasted longer than ECW and Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Wow.
Those two in particular, right? I mean, because they were both 4 years apiece, 5 years apiece, just about. So put in that perspective that you got a TV deal. A lot of the MLWs that we've covered here or there, the NWAs, still don't have a TV deal, but AEW does. And so they've been able to be the challenger brand that they want to be. They weren't always going to try to take over WWE. That was not the plan. They want to be a challenger brand. And somehow, some way, they've survived without CM Punk and without Cody Rhodes. And even though we, it was just like we were doing, just taking jabs at their booking, the one thing that they've established through 6 years is that they are the kings of pay-per-view wrestling. The spectacle is there for WWE, but as far as the in-ring, nobody does it like AEW. They put the time in, they give everybody a shot to be on the card, and so it is here, Brian, Gabe, Jay Hood, have a meal, and then have another plate, and have another plate, and have another plate, until they have to roll you out in a wheelbarrow. So that's what it is, Brian. The key is that AEW gives you so much more than the WWE does on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think to me the biggest sign of what AEW is doing is working is them being acknowledged by the WWE, is the counter-programming, where even pre-relationship, the WWE was not counter-programming TNA pay-per-views. They're not saying, oh, we got to do something to combat Dixie and put out a pay-per-view at the same time. Like, they're not doing that to MLW or NWA. They're doing it to AEW, which to me says, oh, something's working there. And yes, there are hiccups, there are speed bumps, but it still is Wednesday nights, the best 2 hours of wrestling on TV. Every Sunday in the pay-per-views, it's the best wrestling we see. So to me, it's a home run, it's a win. I'm glad we have it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the fact that it's going to be in the financial spot that it is and continue is so good. Like, it's the best of WCW is better than the best of AEW, but they've lasted longer than WCW Monday Night Nitro right now. Like, Nitro was six seasons, 200 some odd episodes, whatever. They've run more episodes of Dynamite than that. They've made it to six seasons now of Dynamite. So, you know, the longevity is going to ultimately be, I think, the most impressive thing about AEW. And we all know this. We say this every time we talk about we hit an anniversary for AEW. Like, just having that legitimate competition for WWE makes everything around it better. Do we have, I mean, even for TNA and NXT right now, they're doing an invasion angle there. Does that happen without AEW? The answer for me is no, because WWE is not buying TNA. They're not buying and partnering with AAA down in Mexico. They're not trying to form all these bonds. And a lot of that's because of what AEW was doing first and partnering up with TNA before WWE ever did. Partnering up for pay-per-views every year with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Partnering up with CMLL down in Mexico. And it's leading to creative things that we would have never seen in WWE without it. So I long live AEW. I hope it continues for as long as it possibly can.
Yep.
What do we have number two this week?
Speaking of AEW, we had a chance earlier this week in advance of the 6th anniversary show to catch up with the pride of professional wrestling, Anthony Bowens, and this is our conversation with him.
Excited to bring on our next guest. He is the pride of pro wrestling. You can check him out. Dynamite is going to be at Hard Rock Live coming up on October 1st. Dynamite 6, 6 years of Dynamite. He is Anthony Bowens. What's going on, Anthony?
I am excited to be here. Excited to be in Miami. Pride of professional wrestling, representing AEW only like he can.
Well, so let's go ahead and start with it being the sixth anniversary of Dynamite. You haven't been there since day one, but you've been there for a large portion of AEW being there since late 2020. What is the biggest difference between AEW in 2020 versus AEW now as they get ready to celebrate the sixth anniversary of Dynamite?
I think we're a well-oiled machine now. We were still figuring things out back then, especially during a pandemic, because that threw everything into a frenzy of how do we run shows? How do we get how do we schedule things? How do we do anything, really? Because it was such pandemonium. So you're getting a well-oiled machine now. You're getting a fantastic show. I mean, you always get a fantastic show, but this is particularly cool because it's the sixth anniversary of Dynamite. And it's in beautiful Hollywood, Florida, you know? Let's have some fun. Let's kick some ass. Excuse my language.
You're good. Language is good. We have beautiful weather here in Florida. On that topic of 6 years, outside of your moments that you've made in AEW, what is your favorite AEW memory over these 6 years?
I think just being here. I'm not going to give anybody else credit. So only professional wrestling. Just being able to be on television, live my dream every single week. That's my favorite thing about Dynamite. So we have the opportunity to perform and connect with an audience and give wrestling fans an alternative.
What do you think has allowed you to connect with the audience the way that you've had? And it's been, I got to imagine for you, a pretty wild ride through these 5 years with Dynamite and AEW.
I think being a genuine person, unlike Max Caster, you know, I'm somebody that is very personable. I treat fans with respect because I am their pride after all. And I'm just a great performer. I'm one of the best in this company to ever do it. Over 100 wins, former tag team champion, former trios champion. Yeah, things got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but, you know, it's very difficult to jump from tag team competition to an Okada, to a Takeshita. But I got those matches under my belt, building up some experience. So next time around I get these guys, they're done. Mollywop, 1, 2, 3.
We can ignore the other half of your tag team, but when you were coming up, AEW Dark was a big part of that. How important was AEW Dark to your development?
It was imperative that we had AEW Dark because it's tough. I mean, even like now, because we don't have it anymore, when you're presenting a new presentation, you're doing it on live television every single week. So you have to try things out in front of an audience. And when you're doing it in front of a massive audience, you know, you find out very quickly what things work, what things don't. And the difference is you're going to hear about it because it's live television. Dark was great because, yes, folks were watching on YouTube, but we were also able to try some things and hide some things. So by the time we brought it to the Dynamite or Rampage at the time, we had it all kind of flushed out. So it's very good for development. It gives people who, because, you know, there's only 2 hours of television time. Well, now there's four. But even still, that's not a lot. It gave people the opportunity to show what they can do, develop, and then when Tony felt they were ready, you can put them on television.
AEW Dynamite coming to Hard Rock Live. October 1st is AEW Dynamite's sixth anniversary. Make sure you're checking it out on TBS as well. So you mentioned transitioning from, you know, tag team, trios wrestling to a singles wrestler. What was the hardest thing? What did you learn most about yourself going from being a part of a team to then being on your own in AEW?
The competition's always tough. You know, we have the most elite roster in the world, whether you're in the tag division or the singles division. But the biggest difference for me was you had to be extra in cardio shape, because in tag team match, you get tired, you just go over and you tag your partner and let him do the dirty work and catch your breath. You do not have that opportunity. If you can't catch your breath, they're going to just steamroll over you in a singles match. So it was a different way of pacing myself and figuring that out.
When it comes to the talent of that locker room, how do you as a competitor take that in when that locker room continues to add talent, whether guys coming back from health or signing free agents? How do you take that in as a competitor?
Just more people that I can beat up, you know, more people that I can show my skills off against, more opportunities to create new, fresh matches for the audience to enjoy. I welcome any type of competition that wants to come here and prove that they're elite. Yeah, it's a simple way to put it.
When you joined AEW, and again, it's the pandemic's going on still. And again, it feels weird to me that they're celebrating the sixth anniversary because it still feels a lot younger than that. But again, that's a credit to AEW and everything they've been able to do so far. But when you joined, did you envision some of the big stadium shows that AEW has been able to put on and be able to have the success that this company had in the 6 years?
I always hope so, because you can tell, like, we were growing every single year with the different venues that we were going to. And then when I heard rumblings that we were going to do Wembley, I was like, that's insane. That's crazy. I can't, hopefully that comes true. And then it ended up coming true, and it ended up becoming the biggest scissor party on earth, where we won the trios title. So it was, you know, it's a dream come true, and you don't have to work in one particular place to wrestle in front of 80,000 people anymore, 70,000, 40,000, like – this company is elite. It's a real deal.
On the flip side of that, how fun are some of these intimate venues? We saw the 2300 Arena a couple of weeks ago. Like, when the fans are right there on top of you, how fun is that for you?
It is. It's really fun. It brings a sense of it's a unique venue. It creates a unique presentation for the broadcast, so everything's not so cookie cutter every single week. And it's a unique experience for the fans because they get to be a lot closer than what they usually would be at an arena. And I think it's fun. There's only one particular building I hope we never go back to because it was so cramped in the back. But I really enjoy going to these theater shows. It kind of reminds me of I did a tour of the UK in 2016, and we did theater shows smaller than the ones we were running. But it was so cool and unique and fun. Like, the acoustics were great. It was just a really cool, intimate thing for the band. So I love that AEW. The arenas that we've gone to.
Okay, you mentioned his name. Brian decided to avoid it. I think we got to dive head first into it, right? Like, again, you mentioned you were former tag team champion, former trio champion. Mentioned the great moment at Wembley of becoming a trios champion. Max Caster there the entire time with you. You had success on Collision, again, winning a tag team match.
I had success there.
You did a lot of the legwork. You did a lot of the legwork there. Mm-hmm. I don't think why are you fighting this so bad? Because again, I think the success that you two have together, even when you're not on the same page, the way you were on Saturday, the success cannot be denied.
This is why I just actually said this in the last interview. I need a microphone or a camera in my face and an interviewer that says, why do you dislike Max Caster so much? And I don't want to do it on this show. No, no disrespect. I'd like to do it on the AEW TV programming, but in plain terms, people don't understand what I went through backstage with Max Caster. This is not, like, I can't be any more genuine. Like, there were times where I thought I was not going to have a job anymore. And that is terrifying as somebody who has always dreamed, like I said earlier, of being on television, being on Dynamite, wrestling every week. And then to come to work and then potentially have that ripped away for something that you don't even didn't even do, that's a petrifying thought. And that's just kind of what I led with every week going to work, tagging with this guy, because, and again, I'm not going to get into it, there was just occurrence after occurrence after occurrence after occurrence where I was cleaning up this guy's mess. So I don't want to welcome that back into my life from a personal perspective. And then from a career perspective, he's dead set on becoming the best wrestler alive. I'm the pride of professional wrestling. We have singles goals. I have two singles wins, actually three. And I was building on that every single week despite the losses. He is winless. So clearly he's a loser. So why would I want that back plus all the mental anguish that I go through from the backstage perspective? Why would I want that? I know fans are clamoring to have this back. A lot of them are. They want to see the scissor and stuff, but it's not something that I'm interested in. I didn't want to do this match in the first place, but Jerry Lynn threatened my paycheck and a suspension, which Caster knows a thing or two about. And I got bills to pay, my dude, so I'm going to do the match. But I don't look forward to doing that again. Hopefully that was a one-and-done thing, and I can go back to doing what I was doing and, you know, figuring things out by myself.
I know Jerry Lynn had that type of power, so I'll let you talk about yourself.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so how did that power? Like,
that's why I called it out on Twitter. No one's answering me. I need answers from Tony.
So to talk about yourself then, what does it mean to be the pride of professional wrestling, to wear that on your sleeve?
I, no pun intended, take it with pride. So, like, I love representing this company. I love representing this industry. I go into these pretentious Hollywood spaces, Major League Baseball, influencing space, modeling, these media days. It's my job to move this industry and this company forward. That is the job of the pride of professional wrestling. And I do this every week in some capacity. And it's an honor because that means you're trusted. That means you are an elite performer. That means you are a superstar. That means the company can place you in any realm, any genre of entertainment, and you're going to do the job right, and you're going to do it professionally.
What made you fall in love with professional wrestling?
The pageantry of it. Because the first thing I saw was Sting in those vignettes for Starrcade 97 against Hogan. And I was just like, who is this cool, mysterious, kind of creepy dude in a raincoat in this warehouse? And he's got a baseball bat and this face paint. Like, this is really cool. And the whole spectacle of everything. And then once I figured out there was two companies and I was going back and forth, the pyrotechnics, the lights, the crowd, like all of that just kind of drew me in. And then, you know, the wrestling is pretty cool too, I guess.
Your baseball love also, ignoring the Brewer fan on your screen, not me.
Sorry about you, Giants.
Yeah. What's the World Series prediction? Playoffs underway today. Who are you taking?
I don't know. I feel like it's so up in the air. Like the good teams are struggling a little bit. The below teams are getting hot going in, and usually all you got to do is get hot and just run through the playoffs. So I it's so hard to predict, and I'm sorry to give you that answer. I have to go over it again myself and figure it out. I just wish I was rooting for my Giants. That's right. As you can see.
Yeah. They were the best.
But that kind of 1-14 stretch destroyed us.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
That just doesn't help. Okay, so you mentioned Sting. How crazy was it then that you got to work in the same company with Sting if he was one of the first people who ever drew you to professional wrestling?
That is one of my favorite Dynamite memories, actually, was working with Sting. We main evented against – which was really cool because the first match I saw of him was that Starrcade in 97 – in Washington, D.C. And that the night of that match was my 9th year anniversary in wrestling. And it was in Washington, D.C. So it was a little full circle moment. It was great. Yeah, it was great. People say like you should never meet your heroes because you're usually disappointed. I, in no way, shape, or form, was disappointed in Sting. He's a fantastic human being, obviously incredible performer. And pardon the cliche, like pinch myself in the ring while I was beating him up, going like I'm beating up my hero right now. Like, this is so cool. It was a really, really fun night. And I may or may not have cried in his face afterwards and gave him a big hug. And it was just cool.
How beneficial is that to your career to have veterans like that backstage where you can just go pick their brain? Like Adam Copeland's just there if you want to ask him about your match.
Yeah, we have an incredible roster and a really good group of veterans, legends, I should say, that have a wealth of knowledge, and they're all really excited to pass it on to the next generation. So that's really cool. And just to have their confidence, you know, have the people that have made money in this business, the people that you used to or still look up to, have confidence. Speaking of that Sting, you know, he was one of the guys with the Acclaimed where we were – just starting to get some buzz in 2022. And I forgot what match we were having, but it was right before we went out. For no reason at all, Sting happened to be walking by and he stopped and turned around and said, "You guys have everything you need." He was referring to me basically, to be superstars. You just need that one match in front of that right audience and you guys are set. And just to have that confidence and to also know that he was absolutely right, because 2 months later was All Out 2022 in Chicago and off we went. So stuff like that's really cool.
So you've had some, as you mentioned, got to wrestle Sting. You've had some really good singles matches. What are the goals going forward for the Pride of Professional Wrestling in terms of who you want to face, who you think would make a really good a partner for you in the ring?
Singles gold. I'm going to repeat this again. Singles gold.
Hold on. I want to write this. Singles.
Please, and get the spelling correct as well.
Gold. All right. I've got it down. Okay, excellent. We've got it written down.
I want every title available. I want them all. I want a level up TNT title, going to the unified continental title, like all the way up to the world title. I want everything. And that's what you have to do. It takes time. This is a slow process. Look at a guy like Kyle Fletcher, who's TNT champion now. You know, this was a development over 2 years. 2 years ago, he was on the pre-show, fighting MJF on whatever pay-per-view it was. And then all of a sudden, he didn't have a tag partner anymore, and, you know, he was finding himself. He was finding his look. He was finding his footing in the ring. And that process took about, like, 2 years. Now he's TNT champion. I've only been in this for, what, 6 months, 7 months? All this stuff takes time. So I'm excited to do that without Max Caster, by myself representing this industry, because I am your pride.
Well, then on that singles front, who are some guys you want to get in the ring with? Say, okay, I can make some money putting on those matches.
Give me Kenny Omega. Give me – I want Cope, because I feel like he would take me to a next level in terms of, like, storytelling perspective. Give me Fletcher again, because now I got his number. Same thing with Okada. Same thing with Takeshita. I actually got to get my revenge on Ricochet, because he stabbed me in the head with my own scissors that he stole from me, by the way. There's a lot, you know, there's a roster. Like, I'd have to go over the roster again and scan it. But there's a whole lot of people that I know, I can put on some pretty, pretty good matches with.
Anthony, appreciate the time, man. Looking forward to seeing what you've got coming up next. But I know AEW Dynamite, Hard Rock Live, Wednesday night, TBS, Dynamite 6. Thank you so much for the time.
Don't forget HBO Max. No problem.
Anthony Bowens joining us again. That was before the show last night. Still got some good conversation out of him as his storyline continues with Max Caster. But what do we got? Number three this week.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead, Jonathan. Mr. Hood.
We need to review this very briefly, this interview. I know that you're just a driver just trying to move on. Well, no. We need to address this man sold you two that on his wish list – Ricochet, Takeshita, Okada, Fletcher, Copeland, Omega. That's 0-6. He's not going to get these guys. That's one thing. Number two, what we saw is a guy that wants to be a heel.
Yes.
And he can never reach his partner's heeldom. You see, Max Caster, as we have discovered on the show, is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is. I think let me just tell you. Mm-hmm. It's one of the very few interviews that we've had here on the show where the guy's weaving in and out of character the entire time. I'm exposing it right now. He says, Gabe, he says, Brian, like, yeah, you know, Max Caster, I didn't know if I had a job next week or not because of his antics backstage. That's a shoot, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet you that's a shoot. Because, again, Max Caster is an asshole. I don't think there's any question about that. He's been a heel the entire time. The scissoring, when they were tag team champions, he is a bad guy, Max Caster. Anthony Bowens tried to come across as a heel, correcting you, Gabe, talking about promoting HBO Max. You sure you want to say Max in your interview? So I'm just saying that was a very unusual interview of someone who wants to be a heel. But I don't think that he'll get over as a heel because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, it feels like that's the route they're going where they almost flip. But then, yeah, the next step, like after the feud ends again, it felt like it ended before. How does it work when Max goes off as a face and Bowens goes off as a heel? Like that will be the next step.
Well, I mean, if they separate again, because I would say it has not gone, the singles run has not gone that well for either.
I just want to just put a pin in that interview. Didn't want to just move on because we saw a guy that was searching right there. He doesn't know where he's going. I know it was on his wish list, but that's a guy there that's in kind of like in the middle. When you say he's in search mode for his own career.
I agree.
So, please go ahead.
What are we? Number three this week.
Shout out to Chandran the Man on Twitter. I don't know who that is, but it came across my timeline. He threw out this question. What is a better WWE class? Is it OVW 2002, which included John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, and Victoria? Or is it NXT 2012, which included Rollins, Roman, Ambrose, Paige, Bray Wyatt, and Rusev? Better class, OVW 02 or NXT 12?
God bless you for identifying Victoria. I wasn't sure who that was.
Yeah, they're just
okay. A couple world championships there. A couple more world championships to add to that 2002 OVW class. If you're into more depth, then it's 2012. But if we're talking about this like a draft class, if we were talking about any other sport, like you've got some of the greatest of all time coming out of 2002. Like John Cena, who's currently being promoted as the greatest of all time, the one who broke the record for most championships in WWE history, is a part of that. And like he alone has more world championships, I think, than everybody combined in that 2012 class. Maybe it's close. Because what Bray won two.
Yep.
So Seth is six, Roman is six, Dean won it once, two for Wyatt and one for Big E.
Dean Mox.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I guess what are we doing? Yeah, if Mox is – I don't know what we do with Mox outside of WWE as part of this debate. That's kind of the sort of the issue.
We play for a different team, but it's still the guy. So it's just like Dean Mox.
Okay, all right. All right, Dean/Mox. But like Cena's got 17, Randy's got 14, Brock Lesnar has – I mean, I don't know how many because he just – seemingly held him hostage for a long period of time. Batista's got six. Like it's the OVW 2002 class. And I don't know if it's particularly close just based solely on world championships for me. When I take a look at this again, there's a lot more depth. So you got some really good players there from Luke Harper and Rusev. You got some good hands and some guys who have had some longevity in that 2012 class, certainly, but we're talking about the six. I mean, seriously, all six are Hall of Famers. What? I don't know if all 12, the ones that – in fact, I know not all 12 are Hall of Famers because for whatever reason they decided to put Emma on that list of class of 2012.
So I have 5 versus 4 in Hall of Famers. So OVW with Bautista, Cena, Orton, Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin. He's going. He'll be in. He'll be in.
Yeah.
He'll
Shelton? So Victoria's a two-time world champ. Like she's a two-time women's champ. She should.
I guess in WWE, I guess so.
Didn't she actually get in already?
Oh no, she's not. A long time. So on the other side, Dean Mox. Dean Mox, because those championship matters too.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt Hall of Famer because of what.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't need to be world champion. I think we've discussed this already. Yep. It's just Vince in his booking. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to be champion. As a character, it's one of the greatest characters that we've seen in WWE the last 25 years. Roman, Rollins. And the rest of the odd Emma and then Rusev part of that class. And then a guy from the Spirit Squad, right? Nikki?
Was that Dolph?
Oh, I don't know. Is that Nikki?
I think so. I think that's Dolph or Nemeth or whatever you want to call him now.
Oh, well, he'll be in the Hall of Fame too. How about?
Wait, Nick Rogers? Wait, Nick Rogers? Why would they just put?
I don't know why the graphic says that.
What?
Oh, that. So you're saying that's Dolph? Okay.
I'm well, pretty sure.
Well, with the WWE, the one was it one championship and then TNA. Paul the very good.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You mentioned Bray going in. Obviously, the Shield all going in. That's four. Big E gets in with New Day?
No. Well, yeah. I was going to say no because I thought about his singles run. Cut short.
Yes, but still world champ, New Day, that's five. And do you make an argument for Paige if she eventually ends up back in WWE?
As a what?
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer what?
WWE.
As a wrestler?
Yes. Her impact early on was a big deal.
What?
Nick, by the way, Nick Rogers, that is not
like Dolph.
That is not Dolph Ziggler. That is not Nick Nemeth. That is somebody who did not last very long. Yeah, I understand what he looks like.
Audience is him. There he is.
But I just quick.
Was he? But
yes.
To be clear, was he in the Spirit Squad?
I don't know who that man is.
Okay.
His real name is Austin Spencer, Canadian professional wrestler. He made two appearances on NXT TV, losing both times. In November of 2012, he was released from his contract.
Darko, WWE, just a draft pick. And
yeah, between all the legend, I got it. All right, I can see that.
I have no idea. I have no idea what he's doing in that picture on this list. Because I would argue he never even graduated.
Was Corey Graves a part of that? Can we put him on there? Like,
he was Florida Championship Wrestling. So to answer your question, Paige is not a Hall of Famer.
Her first run, and then if there is a second one where we see her return in the next few months, I'd make a case for her.
There's a different reason why she should be in the Hall of Fame for me, but that's just me.
I'm just saying, it's debatable.
No, she's not a Hall of Famer. Stop putting people in the Hall of Fame just because you know them.
That's what the WWE does.
No. Yeah, I mean, if you know them, they're probably in the WWE or will be in the WWE.
Paige is not a Hall of Famer, for God's sakes.
With the second run. You got to wait for the second run.
But then you guys, like, were worrying about Shelton. Wait a minute. That's an NCAA.
No, I no. Look, I did not push back on Shelton. No.
I think
thought
they're
that
pretty
Shelton...
comparable, her, him and Paige.
Oh my.
Not from a wrestling, from a what they accomplished in the WWE. Shelton was a mid-card guy. Paige was the face of the division.
That's not Shelton's fault that he was in catering.
I completely agree, but that doesn't mean you put him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, the TNA, the AEW run, elevating him, pushing him up.
Okay.
That's what's happening right now. They've rolled back the odometer on his years. He's like 50. They've rolled it back to a good solid 44 now. He's quality.
You can tell me he's 28 and I'd believe you at this point.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yes.
Same thing with Bobby Lashley. I have no idea how old that man is. He has looked the same from the second I have seen him on my television until now. The man has looked the same. He has not aged a day.
28.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Fine. 32, but not a day older.
That's funny. So OVW wins that.
Yeah.
And nothing against the other guy. I mean, it's a good young class. But I mean, it's you could just close the door after John Cena right there.
Yeah.
A guy that they were going to cut in the first year.
And I think also to speak to the issues of the WWE and their age issues, we don't have this class anytime after 2012. Like, you don't have a collection of people who are like, oh, remember that class? That's really developed nicely.
It's a separate topic, but it just shows you. NXT under Shawn Michaels has struggled. It's not even close to the black and gold brand as far as churning out stars. It's not the same.
Yep.
So,
what do we got in news and notes this week, Brian?
Of NXT, was announced that Tuesday, going head to head with AEW Title Tuesday, will be NXT versus TNA Showdown, two Survivor Series matches between the two brands. The Hardys versus Dark State for the NXT and TNA tag titles. And Ethan Page defends the NXT North American title against Mustafa Ali, who never received that opportunity. Shout out to him. That promo was really good this week where he said, hey, I earned an opportunity, and then I was told my talents were no longer needed. So 2 years later, he comes back and finally gets that opportunity.
I mean, look, they're going to outrate because they're on broadcast TV, right? They're going head-to-head. It's just so hard when one's on broadcast TV and one's on cable to know which was the better show, which one people tuned into more. It's difficult. Everyone's going to claim victory in their own way, in their own form, in their own fashion. Should be fun, though. I mean, again, when they're going head-to-head, shockingly, they're putting together some pretty good cards. Funny
and
how
both
that works.
Will be crushed by Brewers Baseball, brought to you by Gruber Law. One call.
Also, the one thing I'm curious about is how much TNA actually gets – like offense in their Survivor Series style. Right now, the men's and women's champion in TNA are NXT wrestlers. So, like, do they just get swept in both these? I feel like that's all TNA does. Like, hey, you can have all our belts. Hey, you can pin us. But hey, we're on your television show, so we're happy.
This all started with Joe Hendry at WrestleMania, right? And since then, it's been TNA getting rolled like they're the Colorado Rockies.
Even when TNA had the NXT or the AEW relationship, it was similar. Sure, here's our world title. It's like, wait, no, like, I don't get it.
TNA needs to win whatever invasion angle this is. Otherwise,
you're gonna let that happen on WWE television?
Depends upon if that's important. If that partnership's important to you, do you think that you can make TNA the second best wrestling promotion?
These partnerships.
Then they got to beat your development.
These partnerships never work. It's always one-sided every time.
The WWE counter is going to be like, all right, you can eliminate one of the NXT men in the match and we'll let you eliminate two women. But NXT is still going to win both matches.
I think so. I think that's how it works.
Like,
terrible.
Elsewhere news and notes, Ric Flair in an interview with Escapist magazine talking about the John Cena retirement said, quote, "John is making so much damn money in the movies right now. He doesn't need to do anything else. I hope he'll walk away and stay away. Wrestling is very addictive."
Says the wrestling addict. Yeah, says the wrestling addict. This is a take one and knows one situation, right?
Your dog's right, Gabe. That's bullshit. that's
Flair's wrestling on the Saudi Mania, right?
If he can get booked. he'll be out there. There's no question
about it. Nobody can clear him. He literally died in his last match.
It's overseas. It's different. He didn't die over there. He died in America. It's totally different.
Sir, get up, please. It's time for the finish. Sir. Sir. Oh, God. Thank you very much, Andrade, for waking up your former father-in-law. Thank you.
Yeah, he's got that going for him. I forgot to mention it. And finally, news and notes, and AEW was announced this week. Blood and Guts is returning on the women's side. We did find out November 12th, Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll see that match take place.
Why do they do this on Dynamite? Because, like, Blood and Guts, the way that you're constantly filling in, like, and I know sometimes they do the side-by-side, like, why don't they actually just make this its own pay-per-view? That's the thing I've never understood about Blood and Guts on AEW, is that it's always an episode of Dynamite. Like, why can't they just make it its own pay-per-view?
That's a great question, Gabe. And the reason why it's dumb is because there's commercial interruption.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy it, so it's not smart.
And then we also usually get with it the Battle Royal, like the two-ring one. I forget what they call it.
Casino,
one of those.
It'll be a good house though, because Greensboro, mm-hmm. it'll draw. I think you're right though. For a side Saturday pay per view, you call it Blood and Guts. That's gonna get even new eyeballs to the tables. Like, what is this? And they order it, right? So, whatever.
Also seems strategic. What was the date of Blood and Guts?
November 12th.
So a couple weeks before WWE has their own. So I don't know if they're just like, hey, maybe if we do ours a couple weeks before, people aren't going to have the appetite to then go ahead and watch a War Games match for WWE and Survivor Series.
I will take Sky Blue in that match over John Cena, though, from an entertainment standpoint. Just saying.
I would, too. Now even dealing with wrestling, I would do that.
What did you boys have as your matches of the week?
What do you have, pal?
Yeah, I was gonna starting last night. Orange versus Fletcher. Like,
yeah, I was about to say you can
audible, but yeah,
you got a lot of choices that you can make. I thought Fletcher again, and because maybe Orange has been gone for a little bit, the way he blends his character, his style into an actual match with somebody like Kyle Fletcher is always just very, very enjoyable. Very enjoyable.
Here's one: NXT No Mercy, cage match, Blake Monroe versus Jordan Grace.
Yeah,
and delivered. I was very into that match.
There's some. It's a longer conversation, but just the psychology of it.
Sure.
The cutting of the hair. It was just kind of weird. Like in the middle of the match, she's cutting her hair. You saw that, right? It was.
Yeah.
Was that
and
just,
then it's just there?
Okay, I thought that was strange. I don't know about you, but that Nia Jax, Jade Cargill.
That really did it for you? Main event of SmackDown?
I'm surprised that Brian did not lead with that. That's the kind of car crash he enjoys. First of all, we get a bleeding Jade Cargill out of nowhere.
By the way, check out her social media for...
Oh, my God.
What that looks like? Yeah.
That's hard way, by the way. That's not a gimmick. That's hard.
No. Apparently going to be off television for a couple weeks because of
those were... I think it was just the steps. I don't know if you know. Those are steel and those are heavy. And yeah, they got her.
What a disaster that was.
Yeah.
See what happens when you don't do house shows and practice this shit?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like sloppy. You want to do that off camera? That's fine. But they got no practice time and they're calling spots and it looks like that. Not good.
Yeah. That was rough.
Yeah.
I will say though, from SmackDown, Sammy versus Javon Evans.
Oh, yes, yes.
Again, the US Open Challenge is always going to, like, the US Open Challenge has never not delivered.
Right.
Like, it is, again, to revisit this the way they have, I think, has been fantastic. I would throw out the one WWE match I had on my list was Rusev versus Dirty Dom. Like, again, just the at the end, Dirty Dom, his name's Dirty Dom. He's going to do something underhanded to win the match. So he goes low, able to roll up Rusev. Like, they continue to build him. It's fantastic. I really enjoyed that match from Raw.
I thought that the Javon Evans match on No Mercy, that was the beginning of the card, right?
Yeah, it was the opening match. I forget who that guy was. Josh Briggs?
Yeah.
There we go.
Very good match. I think but that was an Obafemi, Ricky Saints. I mean, of course, with GKW, we crown champions.
Yep.
And by the way, we do the interview game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian and I are not even thinking like Ricky's going to win the championship, but he's just all cool. I'm just like, wait a minute now. We didn't even think that, hey, he could actually win this thing. Like, and he wins. I go, well, he was so cool, like he was going to lose.
Young developmental talent getting over in NXT.
that was
unnecessary.
I'm just saying, that's how they do it.
That's just an unnecessary shot.
He was a fine guest on the program.
It was great. So was Oba, and maybe we'll see Oba on the main roster soon.
Looks like it.
I enjoyed the main
final match.
Oba versus Cena. No,
that doesn't do it for you.
No,
big spot
again. Like, you could talk me into it, and then it actually having. But again, like, none of it actually has meaning after he got squashed by Brock. Like, Oba, saving Oba to go over Brock, that would be more worth it at this point than if you want to build Obafemi. Like, that's more worth it than going over Cena at this point, because that's the way WWE decided to do it, by having Brock squash John Cena. I enjoyed the main event last night. Complete chaos.
Yeah.
In the tornado mixed tag.
And Marina not wearing shoes, working into the match. It was a fun angle.
That's the most expressive that she's ever been in AEW. She actually felt pain.
Well, she didn't have shoes on and there were thumbtacks in the ring.
Well, what if
that's one way to do it.
What if she no-sold? Oh, yeah. Man. What if she no-sold that? Just like, nah, it's fine.
If she no-sold it, she's next in line after Stat and Tony go head-to-head. Yeah. She no-sold the thumbtacks on the feet. Guess what? She's next in line. That's just how it goes. Sorry, guys.
So much heat in that company. So much heat.
Oh, it was a busy week of professional wrestling. If you happen to miss our interview with Anthony Bowens or any of the interviews, we were just talking about the one with Ricky Saints. Go back, take a look, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Brian also has some content from last night's show he was at in Hollywood, Florida. So make sure you check out all that content. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Comment and subscribe. Kent, a lot of things to dive into. So many things to talk about. And we do it again next week right here on GKW.